The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy. Glad you could join us this morning. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. Still to come this hour, Wes Reynolds joins to talk PGA, golf's second major this week. You got your bets, Kelly? You ready to go?
I got a few in.
I got a couple in, too.
Another annoying week at golf betting.
What happened?
I had a first-round leader. I don't even remember what number. Like 30-1 or something. He finished T2 on Thursday.
Of course he did.
Hit on that on Friday.
Of course he did.
And then Ryan Palmer with a co-lead after 54 holes, 150-1 ticket on him. And he disappears down the stretch.
Jason Day winning his first tournament in 1,834 days. I did the math for everybody. That's 5 years.
So some of these non-elevated events have been great. It was a great event, great finish. Good to see Jason Day pick up a win.
Yeah, man. We'll talk to Wes about that later. Bradley Porras, everybody. College baseball talk coming up. Remember, we gave out a couple of futures last month. Campbell in Texas, I believe it was. He's got some recommendations coming up here momentarily. And I, Kelly, will share a harrowing secondary ticket market story with you. Would you like to hear this?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Maybe people can relate.
They're the worst.
I've never had this happen to me before. It's awful. And also, they were playing the weekend's I Can't Feel My Face outside the studio, so I feel the need to tell my Dr. Bob story about that song coming up later as well.
I believe I saw a tweet that the weekend's going to change his name.
Is he?
To, like, whatever his real name is. He's switching from the weekend.
Oh, I thought he was just going to add the E, realizing that he had misspelled weekend all this time. Thought that's what you were talking about. Let's talk some hoop, though, with Nick Whalen from RotoWire. He joins us once again on this Monday morning. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm doing great. The shock and awe of the Milwaukee Bucks loss in round one, I think, has finally worn off. And I could go back to just enjoying the playoffs as a fan and an analyst.
You know, it's funny you say that because I'm like, the Warriors are out. What is there to watch now? Like, can I get re-excited about all this? Yeah, I'll be fine.
Right.
I'll be fine once these games come on. Let's start with the West because it is. I mean, in many ways, I know people were hoping. Some people were hoping, Embiid versus Jokic in the finals. You know, the guys who won the MVP, perhaps one who should have won it. Instead, we get in the West anyway. Prior to not getting that now in the finals. We still get a phenomenally interesting matchup between Jokic and Anthony Davis. The Lakers, who just really looked fantastic against both the Grizzlies and the Warriors. In many ways, those two series sort of played out the same way, the trajectory of both. The Nuggets are a minus 145 favorite, we're saying, somewhere in that pocket. Shop around, of course. Do you believe that generally to be right?
I do. I think they've earned that designation. I think they were a team that was really underrated by me included coming into these playoffs. I think they were the team that I think we thought would kind of play out the string, much like the 76ers did, right? I mean, the way people talked about Jokic was, yeah, okay, he could do this in the regular season, but, you know, come playoff time, they always find a way to flame out. And, you know, instead, he's the guy putting up 53 points in meaningful games in round two to take care of Kevin Durant and the Phoenix Suns. In six games, well, the guy who actually won the MVP, you know, came out with one of his worst playoff games of all time in a game seven in which his team was down 30 in the second half. So I've kind of done a complete 180 on Denver. I think they have been wire to wire through two rounds now, the best team in the playoffs. And that includes Boston. And I get why Boston is so heavily favored against Miami and they're so heavily favored to win the title given the path that they have. But we saw Boston struggle a couple of times in some really concerning spots in round one against Atlanta. Obviously, they fall behind 3-2 against Philly. I didn't think they played well enough to win that game six in Philadelphia. Luckily, the Sixers just somehow managed to play even worse. But Denver, to me, is the one team that has not really had any of those, like, oh my goodness, what's going on here type of performances. Like, obviously, they've lost a few games. They dropped one to Minnesota. They dropped two to the Phoenix Suns. But I haven't really had any significant concerns about how this team is running so far. So I think they deserve to be the favorites over the Lakers. The question for me, and it's been the question throughout these playoffs, is do we get anything close to the version of LeBron that we saw before the foot injury? And look, game six the other night against the Warriors, I think that was his single best individual game of the playoffs.
Yeah.
If he brings that level of intensity and effort and attacking the rim early throughout this series against Denver, then the Lakers can absolutely win. But if we're seeing the more tentative LeBron, the LeBron who's fumbling the ball in transition, just doesn't quite look as confident. I mean, that was his first 30-point game of the playoffs, guys, in game six. That's crazy for LeBron to go that many games without a 30-pointer. I don't know that they can rely on Rui Hachimura and Austin Reeves and Lonnie Walker to be the guys carrying them against Denver. They're going to need a better overall series from LeBron.
Did you do anything with game one? Nuggets favored by 5.5. The total's 222.5.
Yeah, I'm shopping around. I'm going to stay away from that line. You know, traditionally, having watched like every LeBron playoff game of the last 15 years, it's like game one always feels like a feel out for LeBron. And more often than not, you know, that the Lakers or the Cavs or whoever it is, the Heat come out slowly. But they've won two game ones on the road so far in these playoffs. So I don't think we can discount the possibility that they come in focused. Obviously, you know, it's the Western Conference Finals. They better be locked in. So I'm staying away from the line. You know, looking at the series exact outcomes over at the DK Sportsbook, Nuggets in six is at plus 550, which I could see that happening. Obviously, they would have to win a game six at LA, but mm-hmm. I think that's doable. I like getting that at almost 6-1. If you like the Lakers to win this series, you could get Lakers in seven at 6-1. And again, that would require them to win a game seven on the road. But we've seen the Lakers come up in those spots already in these playoffs. So, you know, those are two things that I'm looking at right now. I mean, I like Denver as like minus two on the first quarter line tomorrow night. I do think they'll come out strongly at home. We'll see if the Lakers are able to kind of be resilient there. I'm just curious, guys, to see how the Lakers defend the Denver Nuggets. And the bigger question for me is, can Anthony Davis stay out of foul trouble? You know, I think his defense has been the biggest story for the Lakers in these playoffs, but the way that they used him against Golden State, that the Warriors don't really put pressure on the rim. If he's going to be asked to match up in more of a true one-on-one situation against Jokic, I think it's a really tough ask to do that for 40 minutes. Also, you know, give 20 to 25 points on offense and stay out of foul trouble.
Let me try it this way. If I came to you from the future after this series was over and I said, oh man, one of these teams crushed the others. And what I mean by that is it was either a sweep or it was a gentleman's sweep. So it didn't even go past five games. Which is the team more likely to have won a blowout series? Because would it be Davis just absolutely exerting himself and then Mike Malone's Denver bench, you know, being as tight as it was, just wouldn't be able to sustain over a, you know, over a period of time, like if they finally got exhausted, let's say? Or would it be Jokic just being Jokic, and it's just there is no answer for defending this guy? He is a unicorn. What's the answer?
I think it's more the latter. I would be, you know, I would be surprised if this is like a true blowout series in either direction, barring any injuries. But I think it's slightly more likely that Denver is the team that could accomplish that, partially because they're the better three-point shooting team by a lot in these playoffs. I mean, the Lakers are hovering at like 31-32%. Denver's up closer to 37-38%. I mean, not only can Jokic shoot the three, which is something that Anthony Davis doesn't really offer, but I mean, Jamal Murray is close to an elite three-point shooter. Michael Porter Jr., I think will be, given the way that Klay Thompson played in round two, I think like Michael Porter Jr. might be more of a problem for the Lakers than even Klay was. So to me, Denver is that team that, you know, they could come out with two hot shooting games at home, jump out to a 2-0 lead, take one in LA, and then finish it out in five. I think you could see that scenario playing out. And, you know, talking about Jokic, I just think he's reached the point that a lot of like ultra elite players get to where, like, even his bad games, he's still going to give you like 28-13, right? Like, I don't think there is a shutting down of Nikola Jokic. I think Anthony Davis could guard him really well, and he's still going to get his on every given night. So it gives Denver such a high floor.
Okay, why are you you think that Celtics price against the Heat is fairly accurate? Why are we so sure that that's accurate, given that, yeah, the Heat, you know, they didn't have to do much to beat the Knicks, but they certainly did to beat the Bucks in five. Are we just gonna doubt the Heat again? I guess we are,
right? Collectively. I mean, they're plus 400 to win this series right now. The price has actually come down a little bit. I know it was up closer to like minus 600 at some books. I'm seeing 525 in favor of Boston at DraftKings right now. I mean, it's one of those situations where like everything you look at points to Boston just being the vastly better team. I mean, you could look at the regular season numbers, you can look at the numbers from this past series when Miami went from shooting like 51% against the Bucks from three to 30%. In the last round against the Knicks, and luckily the Knicks just played worse than the Heat. But at the same time, there's kind of this mystique of like, well, the Heat always play Boston well. They pushed them to a game seven last year and were very close to making the finals if a Jimmy Butler pull-up three-pointer goes down. And there's just kind of something about this Heat team where you can't leave them for dead. I think they are clearly the best coach team in the playoffs. It's just, I think it's hard for the gambling market to factor that in because the Celtics will get out-schemed at times in this series, but I think that the talent level for Boston is just so much better than Miami, and they're so much deeper as well. I mean, Miami is going to need Jimmy Butler to return to the Jimmy Butler that we saw in round one. You know, when we're talking 15 free throw attempts, you know, maybe a couple 40 plus point games. I don't know that Jimmy Butler is going to be able to coast as much as he was against the New York Knicks, because this is just a completely different animal in the Boston Celtics. And I know Boston hasn't even played that well in the playoffs. And that to me is what makes this kind of scary. It's like, okay, you can't count on Jason Tatum coming out and going 0 for 7 in the first quarter every time. Like, that's not going to happen, as we saw yesterday. So Boston, you know, rightfully so, is in a great spot. They're 7.5-point favorites at home. They'll have home court advantage throughout this series. I think they probably win it in 5 or 6.
So that would be your bet, Boston in 5 or 6, if you were to make one?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, I think the favorite outcome at DraftKings is Boston in 5, and that's plus 245. I'm okay with that price.
Isn't that exactly what you bet, Kelly?
That is exactly what I bet.
Boston in 5 or 6. Yeah, from the early part of the show. Okay.
Hey, we got smart guests. What can I say?
What could possibly go wrong? just want to point that out. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Hey, anytime, guys. Enjoy the playoffs.
Nick Whalen from RotoWire. Whalen, substitute the 1 for the L. By the way, the other big news over the weekend, obviously in the NBA, Monty Williams took the fall for the Phoenix Suns.
He did. I'm glad you just brought that up, because we got a little bit further information. Apparently, according to Shams, he's the leader at the clubhouse for the Bucks job. So everybody just switch places. Nick Nurse, welcome
Williams,
to Phoenix.
Monty Williams, who, if I'm not mistaken, was the NBA Coach of the Year last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
And by some was snubbed the year before, according to some.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Great. Mark Jackson interviewing for jobs.
It's a move just to
make
a move.
Just, it feels like it, yeah. Doesn't it? Ishbia wanting to exert some influence. We'll come back. Brad Porras on the College Baseball World Series next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Splat bets!
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits. Yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check them out, all of today's betting splits for every game, at vsin.com. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well. You know, I said, oh, what else happened in the NBA? There's no shortage of things. There's just drama. This reads more like an Onion headline. The Grizzlies suspending Ja Morant from all team activities after a video showing the star guard holding a gun again began circulating on social media Saturday night. Grizzlies announced the suspension, which is pending a league review, in a statement Sunday, 2 months after the NBA suspended Morant over a similar incident.
I know it's all speculative right now, but man, some of the reports I've heard of what the suspensions could be for him, I think are way light.
Because they're saying half a year to full year.
Oh, I think that's more accurate. Okay, yeah. Okay. I've heard some of these guys say, well, you could be, watch out for double-digit game suspension. I'm like, I think it's going to be half a season plus.
What's he doing?
No idea.
I don't even want to speak.
And if you remember from the first incident, a lot of the reporting was Adam Silver really kind of having this one-on-one meeting with him. And I don't think you could beg for forgiveness from the commish to his face, and then this happens again.
Ja, you have the world at your fingertips. Don't mess it up. And he's trying.
Sad to watch.
It is. It absolutely is. Brad Porras joins us, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you who are like, who's Bradley Porras again? Bradley Porras, College World Series. We hit Ole Miss last year at 100-1 odds. This year, we have remember we had 4 futures bets last year, and Ole Miss hit the longest of those 4 shots. This year, he came on a few weeks back and gave out Campbell and Texas. Campbell was about a 90-1 shot. Texas was, I can't even remember, what were they, about 30-1 or 15-1, somewhere in that pocket. They were a little shorter than that. Let's have some more. Brad Porras joins us now, former ball player at the University of Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Where'd you play, third base, Brad?
Dude, I played third in junior college. I played a little bit of third at Corpus and finished my career at third. Yeah, I'm a big dude. I was a big target. Make some plays over there.
All right.
Hey, you don't flash your guns in the car, Gil? I thought you did.
No, I don't do that. Yeah, no. I think about doing it all the time, and then I'm like, yeah, probably not today.
No, we live in Nevada. Gil just goes out to the desert and he's shooting out the windows in the car. Like, no, yeah.
glad you follow up on that. Just checking to see if I do that. The interesting part about the College World Series that most people, because this ends by the end of June, right? Like, so we're like right up in it. We have the conference tournaments coming up after this coming week. That is going to determine a field of 64. Is that generally, that's the nuts and bolts of it, but there's a lot of different things that go into who gets into the 64 that isn't like familiar to us from basketball. And that has to do with, you know, different considerations, let's say, as we talked about last time. We called them college baseball politics.
You got roasted for it, right?
Yeah, we did. That's
from the politics.
From a couple of people.
Yeah, you know, it's a catch-all phrase.
Yes.
You know, it's just.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're going to get the conference tournament coming up after this weekend. And the conference tournament's going to be huge for teams playing to either win their conference tournament to get the automatic qualifying bid, or to just make a run in the conference tournament to try and rack up some wins to boost up the RPI to try and get their at-large bid. So, the conference tournaments are going to be fun. You know, it'll be fun to handicap the motivations of some teams who may not really necessarily play too hard because they want to save their pitching and rest up because they know they're already in. So that'll be a fun one.
All right.
You know, on its own.
You're a big believer in the SEC in general. Right now to win the go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'd say you're the football, college football guy who comes on, SEC snob.
Pete Futek. Yes.
Todd Ryan?
Pete Futek is the SEC snob.
Yeah. Dude, it's the same way. It's the same way in college. It's probably worse. Probably worse here.
So LSU then is the short shot to win it all. They're 4-1. Is that worth a bet, or you would stay far away from that?
Very far away. Absolutely not. They are a top five team. Obviously, they're one of the best teams in the country. But their bullpen, I mean, really, honestly, even their starting pitcher, barring pitching after Paul Skenes, is not reliable. And you need pitching. Pitching is the most important thing to make this deep run. They just lost a home series against Mississippi State, who's really not very good. Their bullpen, they don't have reliable pitching. So I would stay away from LSU, even though they are an SEC and one of the best in the SEC.
All right. Let's hear a couple bets here that are, you think, at the correct number to pull the trigger on right now.
Oh, man, correct number to pull the trigger right now. There's two. Okay, I'm gonna keep it short and sweet with these. Staying with the SEC, Alabama around at DraftKings around 120, 125 to 1. Their SEC, they're getting hot. I know their coach got canned. We don't know everything around the betting, but they're playing. They're getting hot at the right time. Auburn is playing well around 80 to 1 right now. That's in the SEC. And then I did pull the trigger. Maybe a little bit prematurely, but they're playing for their lives now on Georgia at 300-1 2 weeks ago.
Woo.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. If they would have just won one game this weekend against Missouri, I was hoping they would have won the series, they'd be in the tournament with 300-1. See, the thing with SEC schools is any of these SEC schools can beat any team in the country at any time. So you're just trying with the SEC schools. I'm looking at you're just trying to get a long shot in the SEC, and then they can make a run. Any of these guys can make a run at the SEC.
So I got Georgia at 150-1 yesterday. It's about 100-1 right now. But the thing is, for Georgia, there's a reason why there's a long shot. You would, and this gets into, and people will be familiar with this from basketball, for bubble teams. Your best guess is that they would have to beat LSU twice this coming weekend for them to get into the SEC tournament.
Yes. I mean, they probably need to beat them twice because they're going to need other teams to lose.
And then once they get into the SEC tournament, do they have to win it all, or do they have to just win a few games?
I think they just need to win a few games. If they can win the series against LSU and then they can win a couple games in the SEC tournament, I think that they can get an at-large bid.
Okay.
But if they only win one, they may not make the tournament. Or even if they make the tournament and they get bounced in the first game, I don't see him doing it. But hey, I was looking at DraftKings, the other team that I got at a great number that I really do love. I maybe it's just I'm falling in love with it, but I got Clemson at 200-1.
Whoa.
And they're like 60 to 1.
Yeah.
Now DraftKings, and they are 19-4 in their last 23. Eric Backich is their head coach. He was the head coach at Michigan whenever Michigan made a run 5-6 years ago or so to the College World Series, and they lost to Vanderbilt. They have a great coaching staff, just a well-rounded team. That's why I really like Clemson. But outside of the SEC, I think Clemson's real live. Wake Forest is live too. In the ACC, but I gotta stay with the SEC if you put a gun to my head.
Give me after that jock comment. Too many similar references here. Okay, give me a couple. Not really long shots like the one you were talking about with Georgia, but give me a couple other SEC teams that you feel might be worth a bet.
Yeah, with the Auburn and Alabama, definitely the long shots are trying to get in. But if you want to play it safe, I think the two teams that probably very much can win, and they're much shorter, it is Arkansas and Florida. They're Florida probably more talented, right? The better pitching staff. It could be debatable with Arkansas, but better position players wise for sure in Florida. But Arkansas has a phenomenal pitching staff that's getting healthy at the right time. The position players aren't as talented, but they're a well-coached team, play hard. The pedigree, the blue collar, goes back. You learn so much. You listen to a numbers game, and you can apply it across the board. You go to the Allen Boston, there's a certain floor with some of these blue-collar teams that you can rely upon, and that's one in Arkansas right there. And to the same degree, Florida, but Arkansas a little bit more. Those two, if you just wanted a safer, I'm going to get on it now before the number drops and they get in and they get a national seed and all that stuff.
All right. So, one non-SEC team that's a longer shot?
Iowa, 200-1 at DraftKings, purely because I think they could sweep this last series, which I don't think they'll win the regular season Big Ten title, but you never know what happens in other games. They could win the conference tournament. They have their number two pitcher. His name is Brody Breck. He throws over 100 miles an hour. He beat LSU earlier this year, so he's live to really pretty much beat anybody. Once they get in, they'll get in the field at 64. So once they get in as a 2 or 3, if they win that 2 or 3 game and then they're playing the number one seed or wherever they're at, and they got a guy throwing over 100 who has done it this year, they could knock off a one seed, win a regional, and then be lined up. Anything can happen. So anything can happen this year. Anybody can eat it.
So if we said you must make two of these bets, you would say who right now? Iowa being one of them, and who's the other?
Clemson. Iowa at 200, Clemson at like 60. Okay. I'd go with those two.
Okay. Bradley Porras, we'll be talking between now and then, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Gil.
Bradley Porras, Porras on the Twitter machine. College baseball, baby. We'll come back, Wes Reynolds on Golf and More next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. So in putting that together for the VSiN.com/picks page, Brad Porras, just to sort of review with the College World Series. So he was on about a month ago. We both had bet Texas and Campbell. He still likes both of those teams, by the way, but he doesn't like Campbell at its current price. He likes it at the price we got it at. So that's why we didn't focus on that, because Campbell's now 40-1.
Yeah, 40 and Texas 30.
Yep. Texas is right around where they were. But in getting him to sort of add on to, we both have long, long bets on Georgia. But Georgia is a long shot for a reason. They need to do things to even get into the SEC tournament, let alone the big dance. They don't call it that in baseball, by the way. And we both have Clemson bets. His number's way better than mine. But what he did say is if he was going to add two bets, it was going to be Clemson at current prices and Iowa. I do not have an Iowa bet. He does.
I like some of the names on here. I'm just looking at the odds. Like DBU is 75-1.
DBU?
I was like, who the heck is DBU? Dallas Baptist.
Dallas Baptist.
I didn't know.
He mentioned Dallas Baptist once when we were talking, but he never bet him. Yeah.
I just didn't know Dallas Baptist was so common. Oh, yeah, we could put DBU.
But the main thing is he's like in the tank for all the SEC teams. Like he believes that almost all of these SEC teams can have a run that wins it all. And so that's why he also mentioned Arkansas and Florida. But the ones that we mentioned are the biggest bets on the board. So have fun in the VSiN.com/picks page and putting those in from Bradley Porce. The other thing I want to do before I get to Wes, so they were playing the weekends. I can't feel my face outside the studio right before I said I was going to talk about the Dr. Bob story. I think I've told this on air before. Maybe I haven't. This is before VSiN started. We're still living in San Francisco. Bob and I went to lunch, and we're walking down the street, and this song had just come out, and he loved the song. And Bob was just starting to date the young lady who's now his wife. And we're walking down the street, and randomly Bob says to me, "Gil, you ever been so in love that you can't feel your face?" And I looked over at him and I go, "Bob, I don't think this is what this song is about." He goes, "No, Gil, it is. I'm so in love that sometimes I can't even feel my face." I go, "Bob, I think it's about cocaine usage." He goes, "Nope. No, I think it's about being in love." That was my weekend Bob story. There you go. I love that story.
That's great.
The greatest. Wes Reynolds in love with sports. That's why we have him on right here. Of course, he's the co-host of VSiN Tonight, which he does with Matt Youmans weekdays. How you doing, Wes?
Good morning, Gil. How are you?
I'm doing well. You're wearing your VGK shirt there?
I am.
Do you have bets on them to win it all?
I do not. I don't have any hockey futures this year, but just excited, you know, for the town to have somebody in contention, you know, for a title this time of year. Those spots are few and far between. So, look, VGK, a lot of people thought that they were going to go out in the first round of Winnipeg, and then a lot of people thought they were going to go out against Edmonton. Edmonton looked like the most talented team, especially offensively in the Western Conference. But here we are. If Seattle beats Dallas tonight, we got a 3-4 chance of having a first-time Stanley Cup winner.
I am so rooting for that. I'll probably have a bet on the Kraken tonight. I haven't made one yet, though, full disclosure. But I just want the Florida, Carolina, Vegas, Seattle non-hockey traditional Final Four.
Because look, we're going to see everything about TV ratings. It's like, I could care less.
Yeah,
I always like those tweets, Gil, but it's like, I could care less what the ratings are going to be. It doesn't affect me.
Right.
You know, whether if I got a bet on it, if I'm the only one watching, that's fine. You know, so I could care less about the ratings.
That's me in tennis every day. I must be the only one watching this match right now. Absolutely. All right, let's talk about golf. You didn't have Jason Day this past weekend, did you?
I did not, even though, you know, he was very much like Wyndham Clark, who I did have the week before, where, you know, he was kind of widely tipped, tipped a few times throughout the year, didn't get it done. And then when he wins, not as many people are on him necessarily, because Jason Day had been playing really good golf, probably the best golf he had played in several years when he was number one in the world, and had all these different injuries, really fell down the world rankings. And I didn't have him last week. I just thought, okay, he's too short in this field. And then he gets the win for the first time in a few years. So good on Jason Day. And I could tell that it had been a while because his young son, Dash, who was like 3 years old and had this long hair, the last time he won, it seemed like he's now only 11 years old and he looked like a college freshman. Jeez. The young son that was greenside yesterday, so it had been a while for Jason Day.
It's like we've practically raised young Dash.
I think every golf fan had that same like Twitter was going nuts. It was like, man, well, last time we saw this kid, he was like a young, cute little kid. Now he looks like he's 20. Like he looks like he's Jason Day's brother.
It's amazing. Good for Jason Day. Very likable guy and certainly beloved by all. So the PGA stands before us, the second major of the year in golf. Usually when you come on Mondays, I'm like, well, you'll have to tune into Long Shots. By the way, you still should tune into Long Shots with Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, and Wes Reynolds talking PGA this week. But I would imagine you're more locked into this early in the week than you are to most tournaments. What have you bet so far?
Yeah, I have a few that I played. One that I played this morning, I actually got at 24-1. I played Xander Schauffele, and Xander Schauffele was just that it's kind of a foreign play. It was very similar to like Justin Thomas, where it was just like you're just kind of timing it a little bit. And I think when you look at Xander Schauffele, runner up 2 weeks ago to Wyndham Clark at the Wells Fargo, and then before that was fourth, 10th, and 8th. So 5 straight top 10 finishes, and he's on near the top of that proverbial best player to never win a major list. So Xander Schauffele is somebody that I really like this week. He kind of fits a lot of the trends. 10 of the last 13 PGA champions, by the way, have been younger than 30 years of age. 9 of the last 12 have been Americans. 6 of the last 11 were ranked in the official world golf ranking, the OWGR top 10. So Xander Schauffele certainly fits all those characteristics. And then I had a couple before this week. I had Tony Finau and Cameron Young. I'm still sticking with them. Cameron Young has drifted up a little bit. Tony Finau, of course, the winner in Mexico just a few weeks ago. So I have those. And then, you know, kind of finalizing my card, seeing if there's any long shots that I'm going to like. You know, guys, I'll usually play one or two guys, at least in the triple digit range, because the PGA, I think of all the four majors, usually, at least if you go over long-term history, is the most, I think, hospitable, shall we say, for longer shots.
And why do you think that is? Just because, I mean, in the Masters case, it's course. I mean, course predictive, right?
Right. Well, I think, you know, because the variety of courses that they play every single year, some are shorter, some are like par 70, some are par 72, some are longer courses. This week at Oak Hills, a par 70 at just under 7,400 yards. So, you know, that's why, look, we saw Phil 2 years ago at 250-1. Jimmy Walker in 2016 at Baltusrol was 125-1. Keegan Bradley at the Atlanta Athletic Club was 175-1. So I think there's that. And I also think, you know, the U.S. Open is really like such a grinder game, and a lot of players don't like to be grinders.
That's
so
right.
That's why I think the PGA Championship usually is the most open of the four.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, right? Masters, predictive. Augusta's the most predictive. U.S. Open is a grinder, the way that the course is always cut, so that's a specific type of golfer. And then the British, or the Open Championship, is its own little subset of links golf courses. So, yes, I mean, this would make sense. I just keep coming back to Rory. And I've sort of said this a few times on the air, which is, this is Rory's wife's spot. This is where she is from. And so this is kind of his second home. Do we not want to make bets on Rory McIlroy to win this? Because I can tell you I have Rory in pocket.
Yeah, look, it's a debate for me, and I may end up using him, because this is kind of that narrative street play, right, Gil, that you just mentioned, mm-hmm. because his wife, Erica, is from the area. This is Rochester area up in New York, where Oak Hill is in Pittsford, New York, actually, is the name of the town. And look, a lot of people are not going to like him this week, because there's the two favorites with Rahm and Scheffler, the clear two best players, I think, in the world right now. And then there's Rory, who disappointed at the Masters, mm-hmm. who disappointed at the Wells Fargo. So it's really weird to say that you got a third choice on the board, kind of the low teens, and he might get ignored in the market because I think he's disappointed so many times. But maybe this is the week then you want to kind of buy in on him and at least have him somewhere on your card.
Yeah, I just feel I do exactly what you said. I feel like we've sort of just forgotten about him a little bit. I will have Rory. I will have Scheffler. That will be my pre-flop card. Kelly, who have you bet so far?
Yeah, Rory, just looking now, he's drifted all the way to 14 over at DraftKings. So far, I have bet Patrick Cantlay at 24-1. Wes, I did join you with Tony Finau. I have him at 29-1. Keegan Bradley, 100-1. Let's go, Keeks.
Kelly's got a Keegan Bradley bet, everybody.
Shocking, I know.
Shocking.
Northeast major.
We'll come back. More Wes Reynolds. Find out what else he's betting on. Oh, and my harrowing secondary concert ticket market story on the other side. See if this is relatable to anybody. It's a numbers game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points so you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Always appreciate it. This is from, let's see, Jesse Welch, random tidbit. Max Strus was cut or waived by the Celtics before going to Miami. Now, every time he plays them, he seems to go off. Uh-oh. Meltzer likes Seltzer. Melts Vegas. He said, head to the Palms if you're looking for Gil on August 4th or 5th. Apparently, Keith Sweat is playing. He's making fun of me. And there's like 10 tweets behind it. That's great. This is from Doug Wedge. He says, Bradley Porras moving numbers. Just got Iowa 200-1 at DK. Then it dipped all the way to 100-1. Clemson got in at 60-1, then dipped it to 40-1. And then Jesse Welch chimed in also. He said, am I wrong or did DraftKings take Bama off the college baseball futures board immediately? Did I do that? Did he do that?
No, that was because of the scandal, I'm assuming.
Oh, the Alabama one. Yeah.
I don't think they're up at any book.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that. Wes Reynolds joins us, and he's a perfect person to tell this story to when he was on, because if anybody had an experience like this, it'd be Wes. So this has nothing to do with sports betting. We'll get into that here momentarily, but I just wanted to – I teased this earlier. Have you ever had a harrowing secondary market concert story? Because I currently purchased two tickets to a concert in June. Happens to be in L.A. I've bought tickets from this secondary market many times before. There's never been an incident. But let's just say I'm livid about their seats right now because I pressed accept tickets and the tickets were nowhere. It said they've been accepted by another email address. And so I had to call them not once, not twice, four times, five times, six times, seven times. Had to retell the story every time. And then they're like, well, we have to hear from the seller who accepted it. I was like, well, I accepted it. The tickets just aren't there is what I'm saying. So they came back and they said, well, they said that you accepted them. So sorry. I'm like, wait a minute. You're not understanding. Are you saying I'm lying? I don't have the tickets. They don't exist. Oh, no, sorry. There's nothing we can do. The only thing we can do for you is you have to show up the day of the show and we'll try to upgrade you. I'm like, wait, so you want me to fly in on the prayer that you're going to give me, I'm going to find you and you're going to give me better seats. Have you ever had a situation like this? Because I've never had a customer service experience like this on anything ever where they're just like, nope, you're out of money and you got the tickets, buddy. I go, no, I don't.
No, I actually never have had anything like that happen to me, particularly when you have to travel from a different market to get to the show. So,
Kelly Bidlin?
Oh, I've had this happen to me like twice, I think two or three times. Where same thing, it was just I had purchased a ticket that was suddenly lost in the ether or whatever out there.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. One of these happened for the Victor Wembanyama game that I went to go see here in Vegas.
We were supposed to go together.
Yeah. It was all of like $25, so I didn't really care. And it's like all of like a 12-minute drive from my place.
And you wouldn't go to that.
But at the same time, I'm like, I'm not going all the way over there without having a confirmation I have a ticket.
So this is a little more than $40.
Now, I ended up going, and I was able to figure it out very quickly right at will call or whatever there. But, like, yes, it's way different when you're talking about flying out of state or anything.
I'm disputing it. See what happens. Should be fun. Then I'm going to have to go buy two other tickets. That is going to be a whole thing. All right, so we do random. We haven't prepped Wes for any other sports betting questions, but I'm sure he'll have an opinion.
Wes is more.
All right, Wes, hoops, basketball, are you making a series bet on either side, East or West?
Yeah, I'm looking at the West, and I'm seeing around $1.40 this morning on Denver over the Lakers, and I do like the Nuggets here because I know it sounds weird, you know, to say, oh, Denver's been kind of quote-unquote disrespected, but they were the number one seed that a lot of people thought, yeah, but they're not the true number one seed. But they really are because they were up at the top of the Western Conference all year. And I just think that they're a better matchup against the Lakers than the two teams that the Lakers have defeated previously in the playoffs. You look at Memphis, they were outsized. They didn't have a lot of length. You didn't have Brandon Clark. You didn't have Steven Adams, so that obviously worked out for the benefit of the Lakers. And then what we saw just in the last series with Golden State. Golden State doesn't have any length, especially down low, and AD gave them all kind of problems. It wasn't necessarily just at the rim. It was also taking away the drives of the basket. If you notice, like, The Warriors, like, Steph didn't get a lot of drives at the basket in this series. I know they like to spread it out and shoot a lot of threes, but, you know, the Lakers really took that away, I thought. But here against Denver, I think Denver, at least with Jokic, they do have the size to match up down low. So I think that this is a different style of matchup for the Lakers. So I do like Denver in this series. In terms of the Eastern Conference, if I play it, I'm probably going to play like the exact result. I think that that's the only way that most people are probably going to play it, because I don't know if people are wont to necessarily lay $5 in this series, considering we have an 8 seed and a 7 seed remaining in the final four in the NBA playoffs this year, which we usually don't have. So I'll probably play, if I play that, I'll probably go like Celtics in 5 or Celtics in 6. I think that that's the only way to play it.
Celtics in 5 or Celtics in 6 for the third time on the show today from 3 different people. Interesting. Do you bet any College World Series at all?
I do once we get to it, and like maybe once we get to like the super regionals, but I know that they've been putting the college baseball markets up. It's just kind of a time thing. There's so many things going on, but usually I will get, when we get to like regionals and super regionals in the tournament, that's when I'll start betting college baseball.
All right. I don't know how many awards you bet in Major League Baseball, but Sean Murphy of the Braves is 15-1 to win the NL MVP. Leads the NL in RBI. I want to say he's tops in some measures of war as well in Major League Baseball for position players. Would you bet him 15-1? To win National League MVP?
Look, if it gets awarded to the best team, and sometimes these things do, I think that there are certainly, worse bets to make. But, you look at the two Padres above him, and that's Tatis and Soto, and I think Tatis has helped the Padres since he's returned. I was looking today. The San Diego Padres, by the way, are 30th. In Major League Baseball and batting average with runners in scoring position.
Jeez.
And you saw it materialize this weekend in the sweep, getting swept by the Dodgers. Number one, by the way, the Texas Rangers at 331. They are like 40 points ahead of about everybody. I think the Red Sox are second at 286, but the Padres are 30th here. So, looking at the NL, Bryce at 20-1, could be interesting. Can he kind of give the Phillies that spark that they need? He certainly gave it to him when he got into it in Colorado the other night. So I don't think that Murphy bet is necessarily a bad bet, though.
Was there an NFL scheduling development at the end of last week that made you want to bet anything?
Well, seeing the New York Giants have 7 of their first 11 games on the road, I thought was a very, and 4 of the first 6, by the way, are primetime games. And look, Brian Daboll, I think we all thought he was going to be a successful head coach, but the Giants, they got thrown into the deep water here a little bit. And I know that Daniel Jones improved in the first year of his tutelage, but I'm a little low on the Giants this year.
Little low on the Giants, but you didn't bet it.
Yes,
you didn't
go, that schedule, yes.
Yeah. You didn't bet like an under on a season win total or anything like that. You didn't do anything
yet. Not yet. Okay. The one that I did bet in terms of an over on a win total, I bet the Tennessee Titans in the AFC South, and I also bet them to win the division. This team had the most games lost to injury last year in the National Football League. So I think they're kind of getting discarded, and like, we're assuming, okay, Jacksonville is just going to dominate this AFC South. Jacksonville's got offensive line problems. They don't get a pass rush. They have one of the worst secondaries in the NFL. So, we're kind of maybe casting the Titans out, even though this is Ryan Tannehill's last year in his contract. We're kind of casting these guys aside, I think, a little bit too quickly.
All right, last 30 seconds. It's what I asked you and Kelly on the Beating the Book Masters podcast at the very end when I said, we haven't mentioned John Rahm. No one's going to bet John Rahm. I ask you the same for the PGA. You're not going to have any John Rahm?
I'm probably not. I'm going to have to take a stand against somebody, but he's a dangerous guy to take a stand against right now.
Got to take a stand against somebody. That's true. You can't bet on everybody, but I do feel it just needs to be pointed out. Wes, as always, a pleasure. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks for having me, Gil.
Wes Reynolds, everybody. At Wes Reynolds 1, that's the number one. Co-host of VSiN Tonight, and of course, co-host of Long Shots, which he does with Matt Brown and a young man I like to call Kelly Bidlin. VSiN.com/podcast. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the sports betting network.